Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
What a great day it's been. What a great mood I'm in. Oh, it's almost like being in love. I am feeling better, even though I don't sound better, I'm feeling better. And that's always a great feeling that when you know that the grip that has gripped you for the last 48 hours is not grippy as much as it could be. And we've all had them. We've all had various durations of them. So I'm very happy to be feeling a little more perky today.
I know that you are feeling better when you dip into the Great American Songbook.
Absolutely. That's how I will myself out of it, Rob.
That's right.
How I will myself out of the illness. And just got a call from my kid, who's away for the first time for a solid week at the STEM camp, where he's what was the review yesterday? Oh, Dad, it's just like school.
Is that a positive or a negative? Because he doesn't mind school. He likes school.
Well, what do you think, Rob? What do you think?
I'm just trying to put a positive spin on it, Mike. That's all.
Well, it's probably, not the greatest rave review, but they're building a robot. I know they're building a robot.
Oh, we're doomed.
So, that's
killer
that's
robot.
A good thing.
How's the food? I know that he was at breakfast when he called Jesse. Commented about the food?
He said that the food was terrific. So that's a good review.
Wow, that's good.
He gave a very good review of the food. So I'm very, very excited about it. But welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show for today, for Wednesday. We're glad to have you here. And I just will say this about Mrs. O'Mara. If you happen to get sick, and I love my wife. Don't get me wrong here. I love everything about my wife. If I could make a very... very short list. I'm probably lying. It'd probably be a long list. Don't we all, the women we love? Don't we have lists of things that we could say are not bad? One of the worst things that she does, she is not a good person when you are ill.
To be fair, though, you could make a list of good things, too. I mean, it's not like you're just listing the bad things. But if you were to list the bad things, as a caregiver, she's not top-notch? Is that what you're saying?
Even when she's healthy... most men, and this is true, most men become childlike when they get a cold. And it's, if they have to be on their own, if you're like in the military or you're out on a business trip or you're doing something, you don't have anybody nurturing you. But if you happen to be in the domicile and you have your loved one close by, you want to be... Again, you want to revert back to childhood, and you want to be taken care of. Mrs. O'Mara does not have that chip. She does not possess that chip. Now, you throw on top of that the fact that she is also ill, and I am not going out on a limb when I say the way we addressed and spoke to each other yesterday.
Yes.
I won't use the strong word hateful, but I will tell you the interactions were cold. And the interactions were minimal.
Curt?
Yesterday.
Were they curt?
Super curt.
You see, this is I am a fantastic caregiver when someone is ill. And again, it's probably because it goes back to what you've always said, Mike. One day I'll make someone a fine wife. Yeah. But Carrie is not a great caregiver when I'm ill. And you know what? I've spent plenty of time being ill for her to prove it out. But I think it's a common thread. Maybe it's because they're strong women.
Right.
And did they don't have time for us.
All right. Sorry about that.
That's all right. I think a strong woman. Yes, you're here. Right. I think a strong woman perhaps assumes strength in others and just lets us be. That could be the case.
Or is it at the point that you're both sick, so you're trying to one-up each other with who's sicker?
Oh, that could be true.
Because there's a lot of that if everyone in the house is sick.
That is 100% true where we try to one-up each other because that is that's just the way we roll. And it's it's not nice. It's a depressing situation. But right around the time I was starting to feel ill, she said, oh, my throat hurts.
Did you volunteer at first and then she came up with her illness?
Well, I think I got, you know, the cold first. I think I did. I think that's the way it it went.
But when she said her throat hurts, was it sort of like a counter when, like a one-upsmanship
thing? No, she was
thing?
Legitimate. I mean, I'm not going to tell, and by the way, I'm doing a million things here, so bear
that's
with
fine.
Me.
That's fine. That's fine.
She was sick. She's legitimately sick. I don't think she's doing it because I got sick.
Any the fever? Fact that,
no, but I did get a very, very cool new infrared thermometer yesterday because for some particular reason, thermometers, especially the rectal kind that are in this house, go missing. Go missing on a regular basis.
I know the first place I'd look.
Between two pillows.
Just there keep it, go. Leave them behind.
Mike, for years, I always thought when I, because, you know, they say if you just read a word, you don't necessarily know how to say it.
Right.
And for years, I thought the word infrared was infrared. And that's not right at all. But it looks like it could
be. I still sometimes really, really wonder about the academic achievements. Do you really graduate magna cum laude from Virginia
Commonwealth University? I got a piece of paper up here that says it. Right here. Yeah.
Hey, you'll remember the things that I've taken issue with the way you... Michael said somebody dropped something or had a mistake or had a problem, had an accident. Do you know what he said that I had to correct the other day?
On accident.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and remember,
I
hate it. When I say it, it's ironically because I don't like it at all. I hate that expression. But infrared is good. Now, I have an infrared thermometer for cooking.
Right.
This is for people?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's just it's the infrared that you put 3 inches from your face.
Okay. All
That's
right.
That's the way it works.
I have one that I put 3 inches from my frying pan.
Oh, because you really do measure your food temp that way.
Yeah, I fried chicken tenders this weekend, and you want to make sure you don't dip below 350 or they get greasy. So you have to keep a constant. I also have, if I wanted to really go in depth, like fry in the Dutch oven, I have a frying thermometer that, you know, a glass one with mercury in it that you put on the side of it, Josh. But other than that, the infrared is great. The infrared is also great for a pizza oven because you want to be up in the 800s.
See, my cooking thermometers are only the needle ones that you got to stick in the meat.
They're good. I mean, they're good for what?
The grill.
Yeah, they work fine for meat. But if you want to know the surface temperature of your cooking, what you're cooking, then you need it.
Yeah, and if you want to get that pan nice and hot before you put whatever on it, that makes sense.
Because the thing is, people will say, I don't like fried food, it's too greasy. Well, if your oil is the right temperature, it won't be greasy. How about that?
Yeah, well, I assume that technology is the exact same in the medical thermometers versus the cooking thermometers. They just charge more.
Yeah, and if you get a reading of 375 on your forehead, please see a doctor right away. That's much too hot. It's a horrible fever.
I don't know if you'd get it up to your forehead at that point.
Yeah, you would definitely feel it coming.
You would need someone helping you out.
Maybe that's what Carla would help him with. Let me put this pan of boiling hot oil close to your face. Maybe that'll help. You never can tell. Carrie would probably be all too pleased to do that. But we've never even asked you, are you a cook? Do you cook?
No, but I want to.
You do?
I cook a few things on a grill.
Right.
But no.
But you're not a kitchen guy?
I'm not a kitchen guy.
Sorry.
If you were Mike, it's nice to have you back.
I don't know if it's attributed to illness or what's going on. I am having a devil of a time trying to do stuff.
You've cut the Dickens out of your finger.
I've cut the Dickens out of my finger. It's like, oh, there it is again. Okay. Hi, everybody.
Josh, nice if you were forced to cook, let's say you're having some friends over, maybe a dinner party of six, your wife included. So you and two other couples.
I've got a go-to for that.
Oh, what is it?
I go to Costco, I grab the chicken pot pie, and I stick it in the oven.
The chicken pot pie is awfully good. I also recommend the lasagna. It's very good.
Yeah, that's not bad either.
But you don't. You couldn't make a chicken pot pie, say.
No, I can throw some meat on the grill. I can make a nice smoked ham on the grill, something like
that. Nice. I like that.
I don't think I use the oven for anything besides something that's pre-made and warmed up.
Did you read the people online that said Josh might be the reincarnation of Pony?
I thought it was quite valid. Someone called him Horse because it's Pony of the Future. Because he has some ponyisms, but they're more refined.
And then Josh sent out a old photo of us doing a pod. Was it a podcast or the regular show? The radio show.
It was the podcast.
The podcast, our first remote.
at Harley of a Patriot Harley Davidson, right?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Was that that's when I was still doing my motorcycle ride?
Yeah, right? That was Mike. We did that remote for Dental Awareness Day.
It's over a decade ago, isn't it?
14 More than years that. Ago, it said on the memory.
Right at the beginning of the podcast, which is amazing. And I know I haven't been on a motorcycle in 5 years. I have not ridden a motorcycle in 5 years. And based on my recent traffic exploits, I probably won't ever
But
again.
If you were to get on a motorcycle, do you think you'd feel those rectal thermometers?
That I lost?
That you lost? They're missing?
Yeah. I'm truly fond of when you get elderly, you start to enjoy drugstores a lot more, and so the idea of winning of going in, because we tear through the Vicks family of products here in the O'Mara house when we Lavoris and all the great products, but the day and the night, the Nike and the Dake, Dayquil and NyQuil, we go through it pretty quickly. And I look,
are you a NyQuil traditionalist? Do you go the green or do you get the cherry?
I get the cherry.
Ugh.
Yeah, well, I mean, because it's different.
That's I get the pills. The NyQuil
pills.
Oh,
you do the pills? Oh. The little gel caps?
Yeah.
No, the solid ones.
Oh, the solid pills.
The solid ones with like the vapor cool on it. Those are the ones
I know.
I like.
Wasn't there a story recently that said something along the lines of the products in these decongestants don't work really well when the fact is that...
Yeah, absolutely true.
I tell you, I take them. I don't know whether it's a placebo effect or whether it's the alcohol that makes me sleep at night.
Placebo.
But we went from 9:30 last night until 6 o'clock this morning.
And I bet I'm fantastic. Not allowed to have NyQuil anymore. I haven't checked with my doctor, but it's riddled with alcohol. I bet you I can't take it.
This is true. You have to be careful.
So if I get a cold, I'm just going to die.
Now learned. A couple months ago, that there's cold medicine that's over the counter that they hide behind the counter at the drugstore.
Really?
Oh, the stuff they use to make.
Oh,
meth.
that's the pseudoephedrine and stuff. Yeah.
Well, Tylenol cold and sinus. So I've switched from I am a NyQuil Dayquil guy that has switched to the Advil cold and sinus that's behind the counter.
Okay.
And it seems to work even better for me now.
All right.
Well, do you like the fact that it's sort of illicit in nature? Do you secret handshake it?
It's a pain to get because I don't know what medicines are called. I point and say the red box.
That's wonderful. That's it. You know, it's great that we've all got the same depth of medical knowledge on this show. That's fantastic. I wanted to talk about, because you tear through content, video content when you're housebound.
Yeah.
And this Gene Wilder documentary that I simply started on, I haven't finished it yet, I'm already ready to give it a rave, where you really forget someone's level of talent. And it's funny because you look at Gene Wilder, and I always in my mind thought that Gene Wilder was kind of one note. That he did that kind of I'm scared thing. And then you realize in this documentary that he really was super talented. And specifically with Willy Wonka, where it's just what he brought to that. And the people that have tried to be Willy Wonka after him makes you realize sometimes, I don't think we appreciate American originals enough when they're around, right?
And Mike, this is the Netflix Remembering Gene Wilder. Is that the one you're talking about? Mm-hmm. It just came out. He has always been a favorite of mine because if you watch the maturation of his career, he started with a wonderful, wonderful cameo, just a little part in Bonnie and Clyde.
And that is, I'm so glad you brought that up because the one thing you learn from this documentary is that film was his very first film. The very first time that he had been in a Hollywood movie was Bonnie and Clyde. And you look at that and you're getting the real Gene Wilder that you would see afterwards.
Yeah.
And I think the director said something along the lines of they never thought that that scene would be played funny. But it was played funny because it was Gene Wilder and it was
like
so
he was
brilliant.
Hatched as Gene Wilder because shortly thereafter he did now at the heart of it, and I've seen it on Broadway and I've seen the movie a million times and I've seen the remake a million times, The Producers. That could be him as Leo Bloom, a very one note performance, just as the nebbish that gets sucked into a bad plot, but he finds so many layers to it and he is the perfect understated foil for Zero Mostel, who is 0 to 1,000 miles an hour in a second.
Because and it's the originality of the character. It's
he
the
anchors the movie
of the actor. And look, I think that there are movies. Ferris Bueller is a great example where Matthew Broderick is brilliant. But when you stack Matthew Broderick in that film up against Gene Wilder, you know there's no comparison between the two of them, and you just appreciate them. And the greatest fact that comes out, and this has been reported again and again and again, is that Gene Wilder, when he was Willy Wonka in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, or whatever it was, I mean, is it Willy Wonka, or who knows?
The movie that he did was called Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
No, it was called Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. That's the difference. The book was Charlie.
Oh, okay. I stand corrected.
I always get that confused. And he said that the only thing he was concerned with in the script was the opening entrance that he makes. And he didn't want to do it in a flamboyant way. He wanted to come out limping and do that bit that he did. Mm-hmm. And that bit literally sets the tone for the whole film. And I just love stuff like this. So if you, you know, especially if you're a Gene Wilder fan and you wanted to check into that, check that doc that now is on Netflix, because man, oh man, it's
have they gotten into his Mel Brooks years yet?
Well, Mel Brooks was, I saw a little bit where Mel, you know, plucked him up for the producers. And that was a long period of time.
I think he was on stage with Anne Bancroft when Mel found him. Might have been a Broadway show.
Yep.
But he is so important. Now, I'll say to people if they ask me, I think that Blazing Saddles is Mel's funniest film. But I think Young Frankenstein is his best film overall.
Would you like to know who was it the Waco kid that Gene Wilder played in the movie Blazing Saddles?
Yeah, but he
was. Do you want to know the original Waco kid?
I can't think of his name. Who was it again?
It was Gig Young.
Oh, that's right. And he showed up in throes of alcoholism, right?
He vomited on and by the way, I'm giving you the whole documentary. I apologize.
No, you're not. You're not at all. These are
Gene Wilder playing the Waco kid ended up being a replacement for Gig Young, who was battling alcoholism, and I think may have died shortly after that.
Classic old Hollywood Western guy. It would add, you know, some authenticity to the
anything
script.
You would put him in, whether it's Young Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles. You put him in that, and he makes it a Gene Wilder movie. And that's what American originals are all about. And that's why we connect with them. And if you looked at Gene Wilder back in the day, you would say, I'm not going to cast this guy in a movie.
Right.
And then he became a star, and he was able to choose what he wanted to do. But no, his role in Blazing Saddles was Mel Brooks being, you know, making a terrible mistake with Gig Young, and having to do a last-minute replacement and calling Gene Wilder and say, I have to do this movie. So it's just a lot of stuff like that behind the scenes. And you really, you know, you watch a documentary like this and you say to yourself, man, oh, man, I didn't appreciate that guy enough when he was around. Especially, it will always be Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory for me, and how he played that, making those bratty kids, having the attitude towards those bratty kids. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, years later, we would be aware how great Gene Wilder was when we saw Johnny Depp. I will never know what Johnny Depp was trying to do with his hello, little girl.
And who was the one that was just in the prequel that's one of those rat-faced actors?
Oh, is it Timothy Chalamet?
That's the one, yeah.
Chalamet. And
poster
I have
child
not seen,
for rat.
I have not seen that. Is Timothy Chalamet also in Dune? He's also in Dune, is he not? Dune and Dune 2. I'm sorry, I'm asking someone who watches
he
movies.
Is.
Yes,
he
thank
is
you.
In Dune,
all right.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, I like Timothy Chalamet too. I really do. It's wonderful. So we'll see.
Good. Check Go watch your new Wonka movie then with your boyfriend Timothy Chalamet.
It's wonderful. He's a good actor, Rob. He is.
I'm sure he's fine.
Try
I'm
watching
sure fine.
Something that was made. I won't put a restrictions on it. How about post 1990?
It's a big ask.
I'll do it.
I'll go to a theater and see something.
I want to talk to you. A lot of people give me crap for giving Rob crap about sugary sodas. So you have a sugary soda update.
I do.
Drink, regular Dr. Pepper.
Yes, I haven't had it yet today, but here it is.
And you drink regular Coca-Cola.
Yes, but I was at Giant yesterday because
I drink Liquid IV. I've got it in my pizza.
Oh, I drink Liquid IV too, but I have a soda once in a while, and I got an urgent call from.
Now hold on, I have to stop you. I really do. You don't drink a soda once in a while.
Every day.
That's not once.
But Mike, different times throughout the day. Maybe I'll wait till noon.
How many a day?
Depends on the day. Always at least one, maybe as many as, like, I don't know, 10.
10? Like 10? More than a six-pack? But on average?
Yeah.
More than a six-pack a day?
No. I would say on average 2.8 because it varies between 2 and 3.
So 3 a day?
Yeah, I'll do that, sure. But there was an urgent call that was placed that the family Spiewak wanted tacos last night, and we needed to lay in some supplies. So I went to Giant. And you know when you go into Giant, and Giant is a big grocer here in the Washington, D.C. area. They sponsor its academic, Mike. And
end of the round.
Immediately, you're in the produce area. But right in front of you are what we call impulse buys. And they have things that are popular. That, like right now, they're featuring like watermelon, strawberry.
Is that the end cap we're talking about?
No. The end cap is the end of the aisle. These are impulse buys that are right as you enter in.
Into and the grocery store?
Yeah.
I'll give you a trivia question.
All right.
I bought an alcoholic beverage based on, what do you call them again? What are they? The impulse
NCAP?
Buys.
Impulse buyers. Yeah.
Impulse buy. When I first walked into the grocery store, I saw it. It was there. The display was there.
What was it?
That bastard. That smiling Irish bastard.
Is that how you first found it?
I found it at the, what was the grocery? Hannaford. Hannaford
is a great store.
Smiling Irish Bastard, one of my many, many different alcoholic beverages over the years.
Well, right now the impulse buy section is largely fueled by 4th of July stuff. They have like barbecue things and condiments, barbecue sauce. But there's something I saw that I hadn't seen in a long time, and that is a soda from the Faygo Corporation.
Now, Faygo is not a grocery store brand, correct?
No. As a matter of fact, Mike, I had to do some research because when my father was first diagnosed with diabetes, they made, this is many years ago, and it's type 1. It's just, it's,
Josh, do you understand the absurdity of these discussions we have here that we'll be talking about sugary soda and then when my father was first diagnosed with diabetes?
Back then, in the 70s, there weren't a lot of diet sodas. And Faygo made diet soda, and he liked Red Pop, and he liked the very aptly named Passion Fruit Punch. So I haven't seen Faygo in a long time, so I researched it. Faygo Beverages Incorporated is based in Detroit, Michigan, and was founded by the Fagenson Brothers.
Okay.
And their original flavors were based on cake icing flavors that they made when they lived in Russia.
Wow, they're Russians.
Yeah, they came over, and the original recipes were fruit punch, strawberry, and grape, based on cake frosting recipes used by the Fagenson Brothers in Russia.
Fagenson.
And it was originally very regional.
That sound like a Russian name to me, Fagenson.
Well, they changed. They, of course, shortened it to Faygo later, but
okay.
They used such pure ingredients that they had not a very stable shelf life back in the early 1900s, and they'd spoil. So they were only local until they were able to develop a way to make the stuff shelf stable. At one point in the 1940s, they accidentally used some unpasteurized pineapple juice that caused their sodas to explode.
Sorry.
That's all right. But they for a while in the 1930s, Faygo made beer, but they still make their soda. And
can you hold that up again? I'd like to see that. As a matter of fact, hold it up as long as you can.
In the 90s, wasn't Faygo the brand associated with the Insane Clown Posse?
Precisely.
I feel like that's the only reason I know this brand name.
And that is actually one thing that has kept them sort of relevant. And if you go to an ICP concert, Mike, and you would know ICP, for a while they did the theme to the Ron and Fez show.
Yeah, but Insane Clown Posse is also, the concerts for ICP are events. because
yeah, they, and they shower
so techno, and there's so much lighting.
Right, and they spray Faygo over.
They spray Faygo yeah. on
Very
the audience.
Cool experience. That's if their you go deal. To one of those. So that looks like it's is the flavor.
Well, here's the thing:
that pop. That
the
that,
flavor
that popsicle?
Is. It's called Genuine Faygo Delicious Firework Flavored Soda. And I have an ice cold can of it here. And the only thing that indicates what it might be is there's either a bomb pop or a Meritalade on the can.
Is that what those are called, the popsicles, bomb pops?
Yes, a favorite of yes. my mother's.
And my wife loves those, too.
I think they have rebranded those as fireworks.
Firework.
I don't think they're called bomb pops anymore.
Okay.
When you go to the grocery store.
So it's got that flavor, which is really kind of an artificial fruity flavor of
Well,
soda,
cherry, lemon, and then raspberry. There's okay. three layers.
But so, all artificial in their own way, right?
No, Mike, not an artificial ingredient in a bomb pop.
Not at all.
I remember all the people at the Good Humor Corporation going out in the gardens early in the morning to pick the lemons to make
is
the white part.
Is that a diet product?
No.
Sugary
no,
product?
No. It's a sugary product. It has 170 calories, which is 20 more than a Dr. Pepper. So okay. let's see what we've got here. I don't know what the flavor is going to be.
You know what I wish you could do?
What's that?
You could pour it into a glass so we could see what color it is.
I can do that. Can you give me a moment?
I can give you many moments.
All right.
I
mean,
it's either going to be like a red or a brown if it's really a mixture of all the colors.
If it looks like cola, right. you know. But then again, with the artificial coloring they put in these sodas, it would probably be clear. It would probably look like a Sprite
right.
if you didn't
right.
put the food coloring. But I agree with you. It's going to be a red. It's going to be a red color that we
I
have
I would think
here,
so. But I've seen that. They're throwing that bomb pop flavor on everything right now.
Oh,
there's
okay.
even a liquid IV bomb pop flavor.
I saw that. But I enjoy, Mr. Soroka, the liquid IV sugar-free. Not that I haven't checked that product out. That is a liquid IV non-sugar-free product, so I will not be enjoying it. I'll be enjoying my peach and lemon lime. Now, Rob is back with the
Did you say anything bad about me while I was gone?
Not other than you're a health nut. That's it. And the shirt looks
you.
Good on you today. I like that shirt.
Oh, thank you. You've Very said nice. That before. It's one of my mm-hmm. favorites. All right, Mike, I brought some nice stemware here.
Oh, a wine glass. Even better, Rob Spiewak.
Thank you.
Really.
And let's pour it and see what we've got.
Let's do it. All right.
Oh, it's cloudy.
Clear. Like no color at all.
Yeah, it is. It's like a Sprite color, maybe a little foggier than
no,
a Sprite.
No, it's foggy. It's foggy. There's no transparency to
so
it.
So it's white.
All right.
Yeah.
What's the bouquet?
Hard to explain, but it smells like a bomb pop.
Okay.
There's notes of cherry
all right.
and lemon. Mm-hmm. Cheers and here's to you, Mike.
All right, go ahead. Let's try a sip. Fascinating. I'm actually motivated to get one myself by looking at this.
It's good.
Okay.
You know what? It does lean towards Sprite a little bit, but like, have you ever had like a cherry Sprite, which is, I mean, a Shirley Temple in a bar, but they sell cherry Sprite.
This I have not had a cherry Sprite.
This is Sprite with some fruity undertones, just like me. Right.
So what do you give it on the Rob Spiewak bald head scale?
I might give it out of 5 bald heads, I might give it a 3.75. Let me give another sip.
So it wouldn't be something you would drink every single day.
No, and also no caffeine.
An aftertaste? little aftertaste.
Yeah, a little bit. I think that's the trademark of Faygo, Mike.
Right.
Faygo, enjoy the aftertaste.
So are you telling me that a Dr. Pepper is, what, 190 calories per
No, Dr. Pepper is 150. Guess? This is 170. I think 150 is pretty standard for a sugary soda. I think a ginger ale is 140 calories.
And it's not real. Do they use real sugar in that Dr. Pepper, or is it corn syrup?
Corn syrup in the Dr. Pepper, unless you go to, there's one bottler in Texas that still uses real sugar.
He knows this detail. This is
Let
fantastic.
Me see what the ingredients are on the Faygo. I'm sure it's high fructose corn syrup. And you know, my...
You know, if you don't care about sugary sodas going into your body, what a nice, fun thing that would be to have an ice-cold can of that on a hot summer day. I think that would be wonderful.
This is interesting, Mike. It has both high fructose corn syrup and sucralose, which is
what
a
is
derivative.
What is sucralose?
I think that's a derivative of real sugar, but it might be low-calorie. Yeah.
All I know is both of them will probably make your toes blue. That's what I think with that. That's
my
the way
feet,
that'll work.
My right now, my feet look like a bomb pop.
That's the don't even joke with that. Your feet did look like that at one point. Do you remember?
They're much better now.
Say much better, this is when you freak me out. This is when you totally freak me
Mike,
out.
Mike, look.
When you say
much
no, I don't want to see him. I don't want to see him. I don't want
to
see him.
That's a beautiful
oh, God.
Foot.
Put it down. Right. Put it down. Look at his foot. It's like a nursing home patient's foot. That's nasty.
Shut up.
Is the swelling down?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it is. I have ankles and everything.
Okay. So your feet are fine now?
They're great. That's why I'm taking up modern dance.
You know, sometimes I wish that you would appreciate that. And people will say, yeah, you work with him. It's a job-related thing. It's really not when you work together for a certain amount of time.
And 32 and really, years, Mike.
And even Oscar I include in this. Because you work with somebody for a length of time, and it becomes more than a business relationship. And I think, really, when I say don't show me your foot, it is traumatizing to a degree.
Yes.
When you went through that stuff, and I I think at one point we saw your feet, or you talked about your ankles.
It was mostly my ankles. Oscar
that
had a thing
freaks,
about my ankles.
Well, I did too because it freaked my ass out. So I just and there he goes pulling on the sugary sodas again.
Mike,
that just means one less Dr. Pepper today.
Yes, Mike, no, that won't happen. Yeah,
now it's Faye gone.
But you like it. That's why you wouldn't be pulling on it again if you didn't like the sugar. That's
but
the
that's weird aftertaste, man.
Really?
The initial flavor is good.
Hey man.
And also, what's weird, it comes in an 8-pack.
Oh, that's the seltzer. That's the seltzer drink trick.
Oh,
okay. So where they charge more money
charge
than getting
more.
A 12-pack? Yeah.
Yeah, that's how Bubbly does that.
I think they were 2 8-packs for $7. They're not making a fortune.
Do you know what I'm lobbying for my birthday gift?
A new partner?
No. I love you, man.
I know. I love you, too.
I don't have any left. But I will say this. I will say this, that I am lobbying for, we're in a, I think I might have mentioned this, that we're in a joint the other day having ourselves a frozen margarita. One of my favorite Florida drinks down here. They have, they come over and I said, hey man, this one, I said to Carla.
Do you have any peppered vodka, man?
I said, hey man, hey Carla, hey. I said to her, I said, this is as good as Mia that we had. You want a Mia?
Right.
And that's great. And I said, I think I see the machine, they're making it up. Now, we go into Iguanamia and they have a margarita machine the size of a stainless steel device, the size of a school bus.
And
it's
Mike,
huge.
I believe you need to refer to it as margarita machine.
Margarita machine.
That's a margarita machine.
This place has a much smaller machine. So I inquire as to the machine and I catch the bar manager coming by. See him come from behind the bar. He's the bar manager. And this kid was fantastic. He was in to talking about it because he was into being the manager of the bar.
Did you go up to him and say, hey, man?
Hey, man. I want to know the secret of this guy told me. So this thing goes, I said, oh, it'll probably be like $1,200, $1,400
bucks. Sounds about right.
You can get one for between $500 and $600 online. Now, do we have that money to spend in the O'Mara household?
No.
No, we do not. We have tapped ourselves out with my desire to have expensive used cars and then wreck them 2 weeks down the road.
No, Mike, that wasn't by design though, and hopefully with the insurance, you'll break even. Hopefully. Close.
Cheers.
Thank you.
If we get it, we're going to have to use it. And if we have to use it, that means I will plunge deeper into alcoholism because I'll try to make it as but man, oh, man, they're the perfect consistency, that kind of slurpy consistency that we like so bad. And, you know, I've dropped hints everywhere, but I don't know if I'm going
to
get it.
Mike, if you go to JimmyBuffettMargaritaMachine.com.
No, not the Jimmy Buffett one. Nope. No. God rest his greedy soul, but he is no longer with us. But I will say, no, this is
Does this thing make its own ice?
It's like Venro. Look up like Venro. or Venmo margarita machine or Venmo drink machine. It's not Venmo, it's Venmo or Veer. No, I don't know what it is, but it's really, really good. Everybody's looking right now for my little machine.
It's a great one.
It's a great one.
Could it be possibly
frozen drink mix? Frozen drink maker. That's what.
Now
that's
I'm curious. Since Josh has now got the reins of the business, could this be a business expense?
I think the show would go downhill if this was in the studio.
Yeah, if every morning it was in the studio, yeah. That might be.
Well, leave it in the garage. What is it, Josh? Make it inconvenient.
I believe it is Vever.
Vever. I think.
Yeah, you were close, Venro.
I don't know. You know me. I'm doing stuff all the time.
It's called Arkenstickle.
Well, we have Arkenstickle.
Just Google Arkenstickle.
Fagos and Finson. We will take a break and come back and find out more information because Mr. Soroka does that on this show, which I find absolutely joyous that he will research things while we're away about these machines, and then we'll talk some more about it. And I've got, of course, a roundtable coming up, too.
Excellent.
The news right after this.
It seems like everyone is either starting a side hustle or becoming their own boss. And you know what they're hearing a lot? It's the sound of another sale on Shopify. The all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/sell23, all lowercase. Whether you're selling loafers or peace lilies, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person. Covering all sales channels, from a shop front POS system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform, Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces. With their 24/7 help and extensive business course library, Shopify is ready to support your success every step of the way. Go to shopify.co.uk/sell23 to take your business to the next level today. That's shopify.co.uk/sell23.
Here's Nell with some thoughts on the TMOS Shopping Center.
Nell and Matt, listen, Nell and Matt going to tie in the way.
Yes, shop through Target and Walmart through the Shopping Center tab at MikeOmerisShow.com. The proceeds keep that comedy train chugging.
Hey, Lipman's car is on the car, Miss Chickpea.
You'll be glad you did.
Thanks, Jim. That was an interesting one. Thank you very much, Jim Amato.
Kind of phoning it in, but it's nice.
Hey, friends, listen up. We are continuing to maximize your bonus show experience because easier access means more fun. Yes. Remember, the bonus show is now available only on a monthly basis. However, current yearly subscriptions will stay valid until they expire, so that's nice. But keep in mind, old monthly subscriptions from the previous site will not auto-renew. So if you had one, please resubscribe at MikeOmerisShow.com. You can also enjoy special grandfathered pricing for this week only to ease the transition and avoid the new rate. So act fast. Plus, and this is cool, we now offer a commercial-free subscription option for an ad-free experience
so
on
cool.
The Daily Show. Check it out. For any issues or assistance, contact our man Josh or email support@MikeOmerisShow.com. For more details, visit the bonus show tab at MikeOmerisShow.com or write Heloise. Care of your local newspaper. This will give you a hint. And we thank you. Start the
thing. I don't even know if that's still a thing.
Heloise. News. Yes, sorry. Every time you play that, I want to do it. Hello, it's News.
We're getting so much love for the new stager, which is like a CBS stager from the 70s. Yeah.
I love it. It's great. It's traditional. It works for me. And it feels like a comfy old shoe.
I hear you.
Justin Timberlake, as we mentioned yesterday, was arrested for drunk driving in the Hamptons. We had that, I think, towards the end of the show yesterday.
Breaking
Police
news.
Police pulled him over at around 12:30 a.m. because he ran a stop sign in his 2025 Beamer and was weaving in and out of his lane. He was held until his arraignment at 9:30 yesterday morning.
Does he have a time machine? Because it's still 2024. How'd he get a car for 2025?
He was released without bail and is expected back in court July 23rd. 26th, he told police that he just had one martini, but they say, quote, his eyes were bloodshot and glassy, and a strong odor of alcoholic beverages was emanating from his breath. He had one
martini, Mike, that was served in a Pilsner glass, a 20-ounce Pilsner glass.
Massive martini. He was unable to divide attention. Is that when they do the fingers? I don't know. And he had slowed speech. The quote from the officer, he was unsteady afoot, and he performed poorly on all standardized field sobriety tests. He also refused to take a breathalyzer. According to the New York Post, Justin was leaving a hotel bar where witnesses say he was hammered. So there's that.
When asked who's going to jail, he says, it's going to be me.
During the stop, he allegedly said, quote, this is going to ruin the tour. He's scheduled to play the United Center in Chicago this weekend. Justin's wife, Jessica Biel, wasn't too far away while Justin was getting pinched. She's shooting a new TV series in Manhattan. So,
Carrie's cousin is a high-standing member at one of the country clubs out in Los Angeles. I would know the name if you mentioned it, but I can't think of it offhand.
Riviera?
No, this one is
Sherwood?
I think it is Sherwood, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
And he's a member there. And there has been a witness corroboration that one time he was golfing too long and Jessica Biel came to the club, got in a golf cart, went and found him and made him come home.
Ooh!
So I think she might be the boss in the family.
Golfers know that. All golfers know that. If you're out there too long, don't linger longer. Howie Mandel. Josh, go ahead.
The divided attention test is the walking on a straight line while the officer's talking to you, asking you questions.
I didn't know they did it that way. Man, that'll make it worse for me next time they do it to me.
I think I've told you this story, but just for 10 seconds, a good friend of the family, his father was driving once back when drinking and driving was legal, and he got pulled over. And they asked him to walk the line on the side of the road.
Right.
And he was hammered and he misstepped. And he rolled down a ravine into a creek. And the cop shined the flashlight down on him, and his name was Smoke. We called him Smoke. He looked up at the cop and said, how am I doing?
Jesus. Oh, sunny days. Sunnier days.
Sunnier days.
Howie Mandel found himself in the middle of a crime scene, sort of, during his recent trip to Las Vegas. This is a terrible story, but it's interesting. After a late night of partying, his wife, Terry, was tipsy and fell. Terry Mandel fell in their hotel room. She broke her cheekbone and got a 2-inch cut on her forehead that was so deep, Howie said he could see her skull. Jesus.
You know, Bing Crosby's kids used to fall down.
Wow. But that wasn't a fall, Rob.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, that seems awfully big for a fall.
We know that now. Fell down the stairs. Howie said, blood is pooling out, and I freak out. I picked her up. I put her on the bed. There's blood everywhere. Terry has since made a full recovery. Quote, there's not a scar. She's beautiful, according to Howie. Howie later spoke to TMZ to clarify that Terry was high on weed gummies. Not alcohol. So there you go, all you people that think marijuana doesn't get you messed up. Ah, come
Is
on
that
now.
Like
come on.
Trying to save face by saying that you're still so affected?
I think people
that, you're
that probably
down.
Enjoy gummies or hop water like Carla, there's a bit where there's a superiority trip on that where I don't have a hangover. What's that?
There's a lot of stories of the weed gummies having the wrong amount and misbalanced.
Yes, that's true. You can get really super wasted with that.
But I was surprised Howie Mandel was able to help her, because isn't he like a clean freak?
Yeah,
and,
he is.
Won't touch hands and stuff.
Can you imagine blood and Howie's reaction to that?
I imagine he probably makes allowances for his wife because he's no doubt been intimate with her.
Yeah, I mean, you're down there where all the gribbly germs are.
When the EMT came, do you think he took one of their rubber gloves and put it on his head and blew it up?
You still remember. What a bit.
Great bit.
One of the great of greats, Josh, I know you'll recognize this guy, Willie Mays. Man, oh man, Say Hey Kid. Willie Mays died yesterday, 93 years old. He started off in the Negro Leagues in 1948. Then he joined the New York Giants in 1950. I forgot it was all the way back when they were the New York Giants, not the San Francisco Giants. He moved with the team to San Francisco, where he played until being traded to the New York Mets in 1972. He retired in 73, was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame on his first try, 1979. The thing about Willie Mays that everybody remembers, one of the greatest over-the-shoulder catches in the history of baseball, where he is
I'd love to play you the radio call if I could. Mike.
Okay, let's say this is the catch that he
made. Yeah, this is game one of the 1954 World Series. It's known since then as the catch.
There's a long drive.
And he makes a miraculous catch as he stops a step short of the wall.
And Mike, 2 years ago, they asked Willie Mays in a documentary about himself. They asked if he was the best, because he's been at it, you know, an amazingly long career, but he's seen it all. He's played since the 40s.
Right.
They said, are you the best?
Are you Willie Mays, the greatest baseball player of all time?
Uh-uh. I don't do that.
So many things happen with me on the baseball field that I could just look back and just replay every moment. I never had a day where somebody would not come up and say, I saw you make a play, I love you because of what you did for me. And it made me feel very, very proud, because not only did I play baseball for the people, they enjoyed what I did.
That's a good album.
You know what? That's the coolest comment when you think about it. Uh-huh. Not only did I play the game well, but people enjoyed what I did. So he was reacting to what so many people should react to.
Yes.
The fact that what you do brings joy to other people. So I say out there to Schmeiko Schmera that please respond to the positive sometimes and not always the negative. That's what I want to say. Willie Mays was amazing. 660 home runs, puts him sixth on the all-time list. He also had 3,283 hits. That's 11th place. He led the league in stolen bases four times, two-time National League MVP, and this is the biggie, a 24-time All-Star, which is super cool. So safe travels to Willie Mays.
And you can take that advice from him, Mike, and that's why we call you the Say Hey Kid.
That's it, the Say Hey Kid from Florida. And speaking of Florida, cops in Lakeland, Florida, got a call about a disturbance on Saturday, and the suspect was gone by the time they got there, but they ID'd him as 38-year-old Joshua Garrett. And it turned out Josh was already wanted for violating his probation in connection to a burglary case. What is it with people named Josh? Really? What the hell?
I was waiting to see where this was going.
They decided to track him down at his workplace nearby and confirmed that he walked inside, but no one saw him leave. So they started searching the building, and they eventually found him hiding in the ceiling after his phone started ringing.
Always silence your phone, Mike.
Yes. Shouldn't I say that to myself?
I know. Live and learn. Yes.
They started searching the building. They found him. They looked up, saw a few ceiling tiles displaced. Then they saw his hand sticking out through some insulation.
My hand.
Yay. They booked him on a warrant and tacked on two more charges for criminal mischief and resisting arrest. And finally, today, ladies and gentlemen, Pope Francis. This is for all the Catholics out there, ladies and gentlemen. Pope Francis on Wednesday called on Catholic priests to keep their homilies short.
Yes!
Amen. No longer than 8 minutes, so that their audiences would not fall asleep. I think that deserves a thumbs up to the pontiff. The homily or sermon is the address in which a priest comments on a reading from the Bible. I've always found it to be, I wish they would just comment on anything or life or hope or love, but it always has to be kind of related to the reading from the gospel.
I think good pontiffs sometimes can make it a little more current than the gospel reading. Sometimes you catch a break, I think. Sometimes.
I think so. A homily, he said, was meant to transfer the word of God from the book to life. But for this, the homily must be brief an image, a thought, a sentiment, he told the crowd in his weekly general audience, improvising as he went. Of course, he just was in a room full of comedians. Of course he can improvise.
He said, I need a location and a relationship.
Well, I got a quote from him, okay?
Okay, yeah.
The homily must not go beyond 8 minutes, because after that time, attention is lost and the people go to sleep. They fall asleep and they are right to do so. He's 87, by the way.
Yes.
That is why he is the greatest pope in the history of popedom, okay? You don't want people sleeping on a job, eh? That's the way
I think
goes.
They Come need
on.
To take it to the next level. How about a flashing light like they have at a comedy club?
Yeah, but only the flashing shot can only be like next to the organ in the back of the church like it was in my hometown church.
Or even better, the bell they ring when they bring out the gifts. They the just ring ringer. The bell and the homily's over.
The bell ringer. We'll be right back with more fun right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, my laundry detergent, I got it right here, ladies and gentlemen. Can you see that?
Oh,
that's laundry sauce. Laundry sauce. The detergent, you know, used to come in a big, stupid jug. And the smell, well, it was kind of meh. That's why I switched, ladies and gentlemen, to laundry sauce. Laundry sauce has partnered with one of the top fragrance houses in the world, and it smells amazing. My favorite scent, definitely Siberian pine. Yummy. My whole house kind of smells like laundry sauce now, and I am not complaining. They've stripped away all the unnecessary ingredients, and they maximized hardworking stain fighters to ensure your favorite clothes come out looking brand new. And it's not just pods. Laundry sauce makes scent boosters, dryer sheets, dryer bowls, fabric softeners, and even candles. Plus, if you aren't happy, send back your laundry sauce for a full refund, no questions asked. Elevate your laundry with laundry sauce. Now is the time to check it out. Head to laundrysauce.com/TMOS and use promo code TMOS at checkout for 15% off. That's the best offer you'll find, but you must use our code TMOS for 15% off your order. One last time, laundrysauce.com/TMOS, promo code TMOS for 15% off.
I very rarely say this, Mike, but I wish you could come to my house and smell me. Because I smell great with that laundry sauce stuff. It's awesome.
See if this is the these are the dryer sheets right here. Which are
they make a big difference. Awesome. They're awesome. We were never a dryer sheet family until laundry sauce. And
even
now everything smells
cold,
great.
I can smell my the laundry sauce. You can tell they teamed up with a fragrance company.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
All right, I'm ready for your little quiz that you've been trying to.
Yes.
Oh, here it is. Smell good, look good, feel good. My motto right there. Absolutely.
Right, Mike.
Could happen. Yes. Oh, excuse me.
I know you live at do you still take JP Magazine?
JP Magazine, Jerk Proof?
No, it's actually published by your favorite sports junkie.
Oh, okay. John Paul Flame.
No, actually, it's just called JP Magazine.
Noted author.
They've provoked, yes, as a matter of fact, they provided a list of the 5 stinkiest male celebrities. And I thought we could do this.
This is not movie actors. This is celebrities in general.
Celebrities in general. Some are actors. I will say that. I thought we could play like we do Password. I'll give you a one-word clue. You guess a celebrity. We go back and forth and try to get you to guess them, all right?
Can I say one thing before you start with
this? Of course. Of course.
I believe that one of them may have already been mentioned on the show today.
Let me say.
Yeah, that'd be my guess as well.
I think we're on the same page with the same person.
I don't think so.
Okay, let's go.
I don't think, but we'll see. All right, let's begin, Mike. My first.
And then
I'll
ask Josh at the end of the segment. I'll ask Josh who he was thinking about.
Yeah, you know what? That's like the final money round.
Yes.
If you can match,
very
you can double your prizes. Mike, newsman.
Stinky. Wow. See, that's a wild card right out of the box.
But you have to sort of set the stage.
As far as why they would be stinky?
No, of what they are. I mean, you can't start specific, obviously.
I got nothing.
Okay, you have to make a guess before I can give you the next clue.
Peter Jennings.
Well, now.
Of course.
Of course.
Maybe not. Please. Maybe it's been long enough.
Well, I'm not going to be the one to make the decision.
I don't know if he was cremated or not.
We'll look into that.
This is really getting dark.
Very dark. He was my favorite newsman during 9/11. I don't want to speak ill of him. That is, Mike, that is incorrect.
Pseudoephedrine in my body. All right, go ahead.
You can't blame the drugs. What's the matter with you?
All right.
Second clue. CNN.
Wolf Blitzer?
No. I'm sorry. Okay. Incorrect.
Boy, I'm thinking now of all the CNN people.
Wow. Fabulous.
Anderson Cooper?
That is a winner right there.
Stinky. That is apt. All right. Already, I love this quiz because this to me is a complete shocker. I would think he would be, he would smell like daisies.
Mike, this is the quote from the magazine. When working, Anderson is known to put on a pair of jeans, but the problem arises from whether he washes them or not. He will wear a pair of jeans to work daily, but only wash them 3 or 4 times a year.
Well, I mean, what's he pooping in his pants or something?
I don't know, but Mike, I mean, you gotta wash if it's stinking, wash them. You know what I mean?
That is a interesting fact. Now, listen, I will tell you something about. I have worked with a lot of people with BO over the years.
Yes, back in your days in AM radio.
AM radio, and then right through to WAVA when you work with a lot of guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of guys in broadcasting.
DJs.
One of the things that, one of the things that cannot be overestimated is it's not always emanating from the body itself. In many cases, odor is a laundry issue. Am I right about that?
Yeah, it is. But okay. It also can be regional.
Like the zone?
The zone. Yeah, you got to focus on the zone.
By the way, that's the guy we will not mention that I worked with back in the day.
All right.
Because he ended up being a real creep. I mean, a real creep. I don't even talk about it. It's so bad.
All right. Yeah. Let's go with the second celebrity.
Did I ever tell you about that off the air?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I'll tell you today off the air.
What station?
I can't talk about
it. Can you tell me which station?
WOHN.
Oh, okay.
Way back, the beginning
Herndon.
Of my career.
Herndon. All right.
Yeah.
Mike, I guess the first clue for this guy will be Brokeback.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Another winner, Mike. You are red hot. Red hot.
Only two choices.
Wait,
really.
Way to pick the guy still alive.
That's it. Funny from St. Augustine, Florida, right there. I like
quoted quoted in Vanity Fair magazine. He says, "Oh, it's not necessary for people to take regular showers because the body cleans itself."
Didn't we have a story about Jake Gyllenhaal where he was blind too? Like
legally blind. Yeah. Well, he can't find the soap.
Right.
But anyway.
Oh,
he
hold
says,
on! I just got a voicemail from the people working on my wife's car.
He takes less frequent showers in order to maintain his body.
Okay. All right. Look at that. No, it's wrong. Wrong person. Sorry about that. Yeah. Whenever it's money, guys, I'll stop the show right in the middle of the
I
show.
Understand.
That's the kind of professional I am. Thank you.
All right. Let's see. Where should I start with this one?
Why is Jake? I'm sorry. I was distracted there.
He
for
says
a second.
He takes limited showers because the body has the ability to clean itself. He was
see, there are a lot of actors that you can see them in the films that they're in where it really does look like they haven't showered at all.
Yeah. I will say on this one, I'll start with actor because I need to do some groundwork.
Do I have to give you a name just on that category?
Just because we got to start.
Actor, stinky, alive?
Yes.
Actor, stinky, alive. Let's see here. Jennifer Lawrence.
You know, Mike, these are stinky guys, so that guess doesn't count.
Sorry, guys.
And besides, that's not okay to say that about her. She's
stinky
lovely.
Guys. Actor Matthew McConaughey.
Mike, you know what? Not the one I was looking for, but definitely on the list.
Okay, yeah.
So you win.
That's come up before. That has actually come up before where we've had that actor that he is a shower-free dude, right?
Yeah, he emits body odor often, and he is opposed to deodorant and antiperspirants. Noted for that. That is. Because
You can go without the deodorant and antiperspirant if you just do a really good scrub, but at a certain point during the day, oh, my God. I mean, think of the people working around you, Matthew. All right.
And I'm sad because I had a clue ready for him that I thought we would get in one. I was going to say, Buick.
Lincoln. Navigator.
Oh, that's right. It's Lincoln, not Buick.
Don't ask me to do a Matthew McConaughey with my voice today.
All right. Back to the original one. It's actor. How about this? Raiders.
Well, that's easy.
Go ahead.
Harrison Ford.
No, but you're in the clue landed right.
Okay.
Now, third clue. Young.
Is it the Asian actor?
It's not Short Round.
Who?
Short Round, the recent Oscar-winning Short Round. I can't think of his actor's name.
And didn't he just win an Oscar
for
Everything Everywhere All at Once?
Yeah, I don't know the actor's name, though. But okay. No, it's not all him. Right. Let's see. 1, 2, 3. Fourth. I might be getting too into the weeds for you because you're not a big Raiders guy.
Josh, do you want to weigh in on this at all? I have no idea who he's talking about.
I have no idea.
Rob,
I only know two names in Raiders.
Harrison Ford and the Karen Allen.
Yeah. Okay. And then this will be my last clue, and then we'll have to throw it up to the board.
Okay.
A-hole.
So this is fourth. Little person?
No, just younger.
Child actor?
No. Teen actor, I would think.
I have no idea.
Shia LaBeouf, Mike, is the answer we're looking for there. He played young Indiana Jones in the fourth, or his son in the fourth.
Did anybody go see that, by the way?
I saw it.
You did?
Yeah. Raiders was a big movie for me, so they've never really equaled it, but I've always
been I also that movie to Raiders.
And Shia LaBeouf, I could certainly see that guy stinking.
Yeah, especially it was on the set of the movie Fury in 2014, Mike. He reeked so badly, it was too much for the other cast members to handle, and they actually moved to different lodging. They didn't want to be in the same motel as him because he just reeked like his character. I hold in my hand the final stinky celebrity.
I like this quiz. I like this quiz. But I will say that McGonaghy and Shia LaBeouf, pretty easy to understand that one. Anderson Cooper, total wild card.
That absolute totally surprised me. And Gyllenhaal, too. Yep. All right. Gladiator.
Russell Crowe.
Ding! Mike, we are on the same page today. Okay.
Russell Crowe, that's another one that is easy to understand. And perhaps in more of his recent work, even worse, probably.
Mike, he has a reputation for being an excessively sweaty guy.
Yeah.
To a point where people have asked to change their seats at award shows.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
That's stinky.
That's bad news, right?
Yeah. Well, I think when you get actors that have to be on screen and look like they've been through it, but even if you look at the body of work from Russell Crowe, some of his recent movies, that one where he's piloting the drone, the one that, like, one of his last movies.
Yes.
I mean, he just looks like he hasn't showered at all. So it's
even when he's like a clean cut cop in the 40s, he still looks like he smells.
Yeah. And what's the one? Is it A Beautiful Mind? Is it that Russell Crowe, too?
I believe so, yeah.
And he looks stinky in that one, too. So I believe that. That's a good quiz. I enjoy
it. Mike, I'm glad that neither of us made the list. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. There are days.
Of course.
Even in my sick house, our sick house smells like Siberian pine, ladies and gentlemen.
And virus.
Yes, sirree. We'll take a break. When we come back, yes, it's a new gambling obsession for me.
Oh, boy.
And I haven't done it yet, but I know eventually I will. We'll be right back. Hats, hats, hats. By popular demand, we now have extremely limited run of the brand new TMOS summer caps. And I am doing today's spots, correct? Am I doing this?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. The ultimate accessory for fans who want to show their support while staying cool. It's available in vibrant red, crisp white, classic light blue, or sleek black, ensuring there's a perfect match for everyone. Enjoy its lightweight, breathable, and moisture-wicking design that keeps you comfortable no matter how hot it gets. Also, it's your last chance for the official TMOS Don't Get Happy Society playing cards. Ladies and gentlemen. After this week, they are gone. I took my trembling signature and signed one pack this morning for Mrs. O'Mara. Don't miss out. Perhaps buy both. So, hurry up, man.
They're not going to make it the week.
No, they're not
going to make it.
Do it today.
Go on, probably today.
Do it today.
You heard Mr. Soroka. He knows better than I do. Probably the last chance to get him is today. So hurry up and support the show you love. Every purchase keeps the laughs coming. TMOSstore.com, the source for all things TMOS. Official, authentic, and awesome. thank you for your support. And remember our motto, Rob.
Before you try another guy, check with Peck before you buy.
Thank you. Rob Spiewak with the motto of the day, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, I do want to talk about, you know that I have been obsessed with gambling videos.
Yeah.
Primarily slot machines online.
Your methadone. It takes the edge off. It lets you watch the action without losing copious amounts of money.
I still watch Vegas Matt. But I no longer feel the need. And Josh, probably we should have a meeting off air about this, but I will reach out to you on the show and tell you, you don't need to reach out to this guy anymore.
There goes the birthday surprise.
No, don't tell me that's true.
That's not true.
Thank you. God, you freaked me out there. That
and Shirley Hempfill.
Yeah, they did that to me one time. Now, let me tell you, the worm is turned because the patter is just random,
right?
And it doesn't work for me. I like it more focused on the game, because when I'm watching a slot machine, it's all about the slot machine. It's all about the numbers and the bell. So I've kind of like gone, okay, enough with the yap yap yap. I worked out today, blah blah blah. They're not as witty as they think. Well, I don't think they think they're witty. I don't think they think they might be, that people are interested in what they have to say. And it's not that. It's that gambling addicts like me look at those videos because the bells and whistles.
It's the action. Mike, you've always said it. It's the action.
Now, Bretzky, who is the other guy that I watch, Bretzky, the sad sack, who was trying to get the most recent video I watched, he's trying to get, I think, $400 and turn it into $4,500 so he and his buddies can go to the final game of the Celtics series that they won the world championship.
I hope there's a story behind it.
Yeah, and I hope he made it. God, I hope he made it.
There's a story behind the Bretzky thing?
Well, no, you shared it. He has a goal and a reason with why he's going to bet this $400.
That's a story.
It's going to be gone in 30 seconds, but he's got his story.
And he's so honest that when he loses all the money, and he says, that's it. Well, my buddies can't go, but I'm still going because I got my ticket already.
Bretzky.
Funny. And then he shows the end of the game, which was it. So that's interesting to me. And it's also rapid fire, and he loses quite a bit. And,
now, does he, of all the videos, when you were at the height of your slot watcher, you're a slot watcher.
Yeah.
Was he the one who lost the most? Because he has that sort of, I get that feeling.
No, not
that
the most money, but he is the guy that probably puts his losses up for everybody to see more than anybody. And in that, I think he demonstrates the real perils of gambling more than anybody else. Because a lot of the guys put their losses up. Vegas Matt, I'll give him props where props are due. He will show you if he loses 140 grand. He'll show you that. That's it. But the Bretzky stuff is just, there's a sad sack quality to it that I love so bad, because he's just like, I'm a loser. I love you. Goodbye. It just makes me laugh. He's probably number one.
Do you think he loses more frequently, at least in his videos, because he doesn't play the big dollar slots?
I think he loses because he gambles. And I think
he's sick.
I think he knows that. And he knows he's going to lose, and he is always pleasantly surprised by the victories. But the new trend in gambling that I have been watching, and this is not good for me, because not only am I a non-math person, but I have my own level of ADD. So, by the way, that's an interesting sound that you put there. That is the roulette type of sound. I am watching roulette and strategies for roulette. And these go all the way from guys just showing you how they do it in a real casino setting to people that are showing you a mathematical formula. And I don't know whether it's BS or not that if you bet it. The bottom line is, all gambling, slot machines, deck of cards. Yes, you can count cards, but essentially, if you're not counting the cards, it is a random situation where you never really know what's going to happen.
And on roulette, ostensibly, every spin of the wheel is independent of every previous one. So, yes. Like, let's say 22 comes up. The next time you spin the wheel, there's every much as chance of 22 coming up again as any other number. So,
but they will tell you that with spin after spin after spin, probabilities come into play. So, so a lot of these strategies involve, if you lose, you press your bet, you double your bet, and you continue doing that until a certain point, and then you start over again.
Is that like on actual numbers?
That's one of the strategies.
Is that like on actual numbers or like odd, even, and red, black?
It can be either. It can be the first 12, the second 12,
okay,
the third,
right,
12. They do it that way. It can be the first 12 and the second 12 with a certain bet, and then smaller bets splitting the numbers. They put it on the street, and the street being the lines that go between,
yeah,
the numbers. Can you tell that I've watched too much of this?
I have.
I'm a little too obsessed with,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you like
but
it.
I'm such an idiot that when they talk about the idea of if you do this, you will have an 80 to 85% success rate based on the numbers that come up.
That's great. If you believe it, you're only going to lose 15% of your money then.
Yeah.
Well, the idea is by doubling, eventually it hits and you make back all that you lost.
And in some cases,
it always comes back to when you walk away.
It comes back to when you
Very
walk
true.
Away. And in some cases, losing the first few bets, there's one strategy they employ. Don't ask me to get in the real weeds and explain this, but there's one strategy that that essentially backs up the fact that if you lose the first couple, that's even better, because when you eventually hit, you're going to win a lot more than you would have won if you won.
Mike,
why are you shaking?
Are you listening to what you're saying? It's good to lose?
It's something where if you're pressing it, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Mike, what it boils down to, and I actually took statistics in college, and I took it as an elective in high school. That's how much of a nerd I am. If every spin is perfectly random, now granted it's not a perfect environment, so there might be variations between each wheel, but if everything is perfectly random, then none of your things make sense.
But let me
because
let me
everyone
do this.
Is independent of the other.
This is a part one, because I'd really like you to do this for me, Rob. I'm going to give you a homework assignment. All you have
all
to
right.
do is go to YouTube and type in roulette strategies.
All right,
and
I'll
look
at
you
it.
When you do that, come back to me, and after you see what I'm talking about, and you'll see the way these guys do this. And it fascinates me.
Well, it's fascinating, and it's one of the most visually stunning games in the casino.
That has
it's a
nothing
siren
to
call.
Do with it. That has people, nothing
I think that's
to do
what. No, but Mike,
me.
I think that's what draws a lot of people to it because
right.
it's exciting to watch and it's fun. I've done okay, but I make no mistake.
You've played roulette more than I
yeah,
have. Right?
Yeah, I like 22 is my number, and what I like to do is stack all around 22. So I'll put a bet actually on 22. Then I'll what is it called
the street.
I'll write the street between 21 and 22 and 18 and 22. So if anything even close to 22 comes up, I'm going to get some sort of return. But I know it's not skill.
I would
like pure
luck.
And
I would yes, go ahead, Josh.
Well, I focused on roulette in Canada, but what I did is I focused on all the outside bets.
So you would do
black red,
odd, even.
Yeah.
Odd and even. The 50-50 bets.
Yeah.
Because
50-50
then I feel
bets.
If I lost and doubled, which is called the Martingale system, is the
yes,
when you double
there you
your,
go. Oh, someone else is a little it. Degenerate. I believe you're a little degenerate, too, if you know the Martingale
and
system.
And he was great on Joker's Wild. Wink Martingale.
Is the Martingale system the one where you do you bet the first... the first 12 and the second 12?
No, Martingale is just the process of you lose, double it up.
You lose, double it up. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, what could possibly go wrong?
Mike, there's a homeless shelter not far from me. You can go visit Martingale. He's there.
Oh, I like that. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Rob Spiewak. Please, homework assignment, check it out tonight, and then come back in tomorrow, and I welcome
unless, Mike, I'll
thoughts.
Come back tomorrow unless I become crazy rich overnight.
Because, hey, Josh, he'll be better talking about it than I am because I'm an idiot when it comes to mathematics.
Well, I'm an idiot, too.
I truly am. We'll be back with the side of flip right here on the Mike O'Meara Show. In a world filled with distractions, finding focus can feel like an impossible task. Introducing this lovely bottle right here.
Love it.
It's called Magic Mind. just got it out of the fridge. That's right. It's a mental performance shot that's revolutionizing productivity with mushroom nootropics, adaptogens, essential vitamins. Magic Mind helps you stay focused, clear, and productive while reducing stress. What sets Magic Mind apart? Well, let me take the shot first.
Yeah, here he goes. It's as easy as that, folks. Right there.
Oh, so good. Oh, I love it. What sets it apart? It was backed by over 200 scientific studies.
Mike made it a two-sip. I usually do it in one.
And
he's savoring it.
It was developed over 10 years. Magic Mind, created with precision and care, with organic ingredients, time-release caffeine, and stress-reducing herbs. It's the key to unlocking your full potential. Plus, with a risk-free guarantee, it's never been easier to experience the magic for yourself. Unlock your full potential with Magic Mind. Right now, there's a limited-time offer that gets you up to 48% off your first subscription or 20% off one-time purchases. I'm sorry.
Keep in mind, Mike is battling a cold. This has nothing to do with Magic Mind.
Now, there's a limited time offer. Gets you 48% off your first subscription, 20% off one-time purchases. The code, you know it, you love it, TMOS at checkout. Claim it at magicmind.com/TMOS, people.
The flip side. Mike, I know vacation is vacation time, summertime, fun time.
Summertime, vacation time, beach time, mountain time.
A lot of people go to the mountains. Some people go to the ocean. Some people have a staycation. But if you really want to have fun, you go tour a coal mine in Pennsylvania.
Ooh.
And you may ask yourself, Mike, self you'd say?
Yes.
What kind of person tours a coal mine?
Interesting.
And how would they react if they got stuck in the coal mine?
Oh, God. It's terrible.
Well, this is how they do in Pennsylvania.
People had to be evacuated from a coal mine in Lackawanna County after getting stuck several hundred feet below the surface. NewsWatch 16's Jack Culkin spoke to mine workers and those who had to be rescued about what went wrong on the coal mine tour.
I was scared because I didn't know
scared.
What was happening.
Alex Sicipio and her family were some of the more than
the
50
mother
people
is the
who
one you got to focus
several
on.
100
Mike.
Feet underground after a mining car at the Lackawanna coal mine tour lost power.
There was some sort of mechanical error, and we had to come up through the emergency capsule. So me and the kids came up, and we're still waiting for my husband.
Once the decision was made to start evacuating people from the mine, operators used this metal cage to pull everyone to the surface.
Did you get the impression that she wouldn't care if the husband came back or not?
I got the impression that that metal cage looked like it might disintegrate due to corrosion. I mean, look at everything there. I mean, they're making money on this. I don't know whether this is a private enterprise or not, but everything is like from the days that the mine was actually working. It looks
dangerous.
I know. Dangerous.
I think the president of the mine has a corncob pipe and a long gray beard.
Wow. There it is. That's like what they brought the chili in mine.
Yes.
15 years ago, they broke an axle in the car. They had to use it the last time. I'm here 8 years and never had to use it.
Mine foreman Edmund Neidlinger controlled the winch that lifted the emergency cage up and down. The cage only fits about three or four people at a time. Neidlinger says it
or
took
one
roughly
DJ.
2 hours to bring everyone to safety.
Respect to what we had to do, and a lot of the kids had fun. They wanted to go back down and didn't do it
they
again.
They looked like the people that were touring.
Yeah, a lot of kids had fun and wanted to go back and do it again.
It's underground.
Really, funny. Would you ever go into a coal mine
Hey, Josh,
for
that's
pleasure?
A really good shot for you on camera.
Yeah, I'm leaning back. I'm watching, thinking about that coal mine.
Yeah, you're probably going to go there the next time you're up north, aren't you?
No, I do not like caves. And
oh, really? You're not a spelunker.
I would never do it. Absolutely
nope, I tried once,
not.
Freaked out. Can't do
yeah,
it.
Scary.
What if you got to keep all the coal you mined, Mike?
I would only do it, Rob, if they gave me a Faygo soda before I went in.
Oh, you mean... Firework Faygo soda?
I love that packaging. You know, that is the most attractive packaging.
It drew me in right away. Do you believe in karma?
I do. Oh, big time.
Yes.
Huge.
Let's say you're upset with your gal pal and you want to burn her house down.
Let's say that, shall
Let's
we?
Say that. That, Mike, I'm just spitballing here.
Sure.
That's not a good thing to do. Karma might get you. You might burst into flames while you're doing it.
A charred, shattered window, broken glass, and...
Oh, by the way, for KDAT7, I'm sending you the Emmy for best sound.
Hold on. And I also have to say, that first anchor you had with the Barbara Walters speech impediment, I mean, what's going on with these TV people?
I love the medium market people, Mike. And also, she looked like she was about to hold up today's newspaper to prove she was okay.
Listen to this lady. This lady.
This lady, Mike. Here we go.
A charred shattered window, broken glass, and a tree nearly burned down to the ground. The smell of ashes left behind.
It was absolute shock. This is not good.
Daniel provides home surveillance video capturing this bizarre situation.
Look at the man!
Like, what? What is happening?
46-year-old Artemio Sanchez Ortega seen here on video casually walking down this street. A red gasoline can
with a red hand.
Sanchez Ortega then hops over the gates of his ex-girlfriend's home. The mother and her children inside. Moments later, the front yard engulfed in flames.
When I first heard the explosions, like the popping tires, I came out, saw the orange light coming through my front window, and opened the door and just saw the tree engulfed.
Sanchez Ortega seen here jumping over the fence on fire, fleeing from the scene. His ex-girlfriend telling police he had called three times prior to the fire and could tell he had been drinking.
He'd been drinking. Oh,
Josh,
my.
I'm sorry. I moved Mike again. That's my bad. I'm sorry.
Wow. I can tell he'd been drinking. What is the deal? God, I wish we'd seen the picture of the reporter.
The problem here is he poured the gas, lit it before he jumped back over the gate.
I don't think he was trying to light the house on fire. I think he was trying to light one of the cars on fire.
Yeah, could be. And the tires, Mike, it's a success when the tires pop.
The tires begin
to pop. Well, I like the sound of him hit, obviously trying to climb the fence on fire. As soon as the fire goes up, you hear the fence all banging around.
Yeah, because you don't want to, even if you die, you don't want to be caught.
No.
That's really the way it works. Right. You know?
I would love if I had my surveillance camera just limbering up and there's a guy on fire running down my street.
Well, his theory is because he had a fight with his girlfriend.
That's Emmy-winning stuff. Send her to the coal mine. Mike, the cops and the first responders, aren't they the greatest?
Oh, you're dealing with somebody that's dealt with them firsthand in the last 2 weeks, so I know what you're talking about.
What if your pig got loose?
I think you should be responsible for your pig, and you should not bring in the hardworking first responders who have a tough enough job to deal with the pig.
Well, Mike, this is a pig. It's a piglet, really, named Pickles.
Piglet, little pig.
It's not fully grown, and he was on the loose. And the thing that will shock you here is the speed that a pig can achieve when being pursued.
Ooh, okay. Let's try and drive him in this yard here.
They got to find Pickles, man. Here he comes.
Piglet.
I love that all you can hear is the running.
Come on, man.
Piglet. He almost got it. Oh,
Mike.
Yes.
Piglet is doing fine. They did catch him.
Yeah. We had a few piglets at American University. That's terrible. I can't. That's the cold medicine. I'm not even having the cold medicine.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Cold medicine. Piglet. I don't see that warning on the side.
Piglet.
I wonder, and let's close with this. I wonder when a comic pays an immediate homage to another comic, if they're doing it for fun or they're doing it to be funny. But I just love Jimmy Kimmel. I feel that his writers said, okay, tonight let's write jokes for Johnny Carson.
Around 150 million Americans are expected to experience temperatures above 90 degrees this week, thanks to what they call a heat dome. I always thought the heat dome was that weird helmet thing my grandma sat under at the hair salon. It'll be so hot in Maine this week, the lobsters will be getting in pots just to cool down. It's so hot in New York this week, the rats are wearing crop tops.
Hi-oh.
Hey-oh. Yes, sir.
I just love it. It's good stuff. It's good stuff, though. Yeah.
Thank you, boys. Appreciate all the help today. We will be back tomorrow with a brand new episode, and I promise you I will sound better than I did today, I hope. Anyway, get yourself your Faygo firework soda, wash your magic mind down with it.
Yes.
Drinking that. For Josh Soroka and Rob Spiewak, this is Mike O'Mara saying thank you very much for listening and viewing, and we'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Bye-bye.
So long, folks.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
That's the kind of comedy we specialize in. Clean, unfunny humor.
We don't make mistakes. We have happy accidents.
AI might be the most important innovation ever. It's storming every industry, with literally billions being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs the right data and a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? Time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, and application development, with AI embedded across it all. And Oracle Sovereign Cloud helps you address your requirements for location, access, and data residency. OCI provides blazing fast speeds for AI's demanding workloads. And in the cloud, when you pay by the minute, speed matters. And of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. If you want OCI to help you do more and spend less, like Uber, the Premier League, and Oracle Red Bull Racing, take a free test drive at oracle.com/bandwidth. That's oracle.com/bandwidth. Oracle.com/bandwidth.